Welcome to episode 8 of the Rebel Army podcast. This week we're joined by Ciara McNamara from the women's team. We look back on a busy weekend of fixtures and we look forward to the big derby ahead. Yeah, welcome back to the podcast. I'm joined as always by Mr. Howie. How are you?
Not too bad, Stephen. How are you? How was your trip?
Wasn't bad, actually. No, well, you managed. It was grand.
I was all on my own, all by yourself.
Holding down the fort. Celine Dion or something there last week. Yeah, obviously, we did a sneaky interview before I went. So I was over in the Big Apple. And it's amazing, actually. Football has gone big over there. You know, I know there was no, like, I just missed an MLS game when I arrived. But Fifth Avenue there, now the Adidas shop, the whole thing is about Messi. It's about the MLS.
Yeah.
You could see it on billboards over there. Like, they're getting ready for the World Cup, because the next World Cup, the final is actually in New York in 2026. It's in,
yeah, I saw that. And yeah, as you were saying, Messi and Suarez and all those lads now going to the MLS. It's just, with that tied in with the World Cup, it's going to become a massive thing in America now for the next couple of years. And that's good. Like, that's...
No,
it's the world's game, as they say. Like, and the more it grows over there, everything is huge over there. So if football gets to a point over there where it's massive, then it really is, like, that could end up taking off as a huge sport over there. The MLS is huge, but with those lads over there, it can come more of a draw.
Like, I was there, my first time was 20 years ago, and I'd say you'd be lucky to see a football.
Yeah.
You know?
It's very different now, so.
So it's completely changed. So, like, you know, and I think that is, and we're seeing things happen all over the world. So sometimes we can kind of get caught up with, oh yeah, football has become all money and all different things, and it's become celebrity. But it has a ripple effect sometimes as well, because even we look at the attendances in the league here, and now because of social and TikTok, and there's a buzz.
Yeah.
And it's not just, it's in every country it's happening.
Yeah.
I mean,
look
at Rovers and Boers.
10,000 plus, yeah.
Like, that's very impressive the other night.
Very jealous, but impressive, yeah, impressive numbers.
Although
you didn't see any, Cork City jerseys or League of Ireland jerseys over there, no?
Not this time, no. Haven't come across any. I'd imagine if I went into one or two of the Irish pubs, I didn't go into any of the Irish pubs when I was there. I'd imagine I'd have seen some, because I know there's a couple of Cork lads who own a few pubs there as well.
Yeah, we've sent a few. There's always orders from New York and LA as well, actually, for jerseys and tracksuits and stuff in the online shop. So there's definitely a couple over there. There's a few floating around, but didn't come across them. So
no, but I got back in time. So I came back, got back Thursday, and got back in time for the match on Friday night. Wasn't a bad result.
No, it was good. Yeah, it was another win. Another clean sheet as well on Friday, which was very
another
important.
Clean sheet. We haven't conceded a goal yet at the cross, have we? This year?
Not at the cross, no. We conceded away to Finn Harps and we conceded on Monday, which we'll get to in a bit. But no, nothing at the cross. We have 100% record in terms of results and clean sheets at the cross, which is a good start.
The second half was a bit worrying, all right, on Friday night. There was times they felt, were we going to concede a last minute equaliser or something like that, you know?
Yeah, and there very nearly was one at the very last minute, the shot that came in and deflected off Jaden. But what a save.
Brilliant save.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
He literally saved us. But what I would say is I thought the atmosphere at the cross on Friday night was very good from the shed.
And incredible.
They kept singing the whole way through. And was I right in seeing that they kept, like, when I was leaving, they were still singing. But
they
I saw
there.
Something afterwards. They were there about 20 minutes after the game.
They were there
something.
A long time after the game, yeah. They were there. I think Paul O'Donovan had a video up and I came back out. We brought stuff down from the stream and stuff, and I went back out onto the pitch up the tunnel about a good 20-25 minutes after the game ended, and they were still in the shed. So yeah, no, the atmosphere Friday was incredible. The shed were class throughout, even in the second half when it was kind of not as exciting, as you said, that, like, they were absolutely incredible Friday night, and they have been like that to be fair for the first couple of games.
We probably have one of the most vocal supports in the country,
definitely,
I'd imagine.
Yeah, even for away games like you saw yesterday as well, incredible.
Yeah, so I went up to Wexford as well yesterday and couldn't get over how many people from Cork were there. I think we took over half the stand.
We took over most of the stand, and there was a lot more kind of scattered around the ground, around the kind of perimeter fence and over the dugout side as well. So,
And a big bus load went up as well.
Yeah, there's a bus, there's a supporters bus. There's a hell of a lot of people driving up as well. We went up early and we were bumping into people in the shops we stopped in on the way up. Yeah, I don't know how many. We don't have like an exact figure yet of what was there, but a couple of hundred anyway, definitely.
There was
a large percentage of the crowd that was there. I think they announced 1,100 was there, was it? Something like that.
1,100, yeah.
And like definitely close to half of that was Cork City fans, I would say.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah.
I suppose the fact that it was a 3 o'clock fixture on a bank holiday Monday.
It's a more accessible game to get to, like, yeah.
Which, in fairness, from the league, you know, sometimes I'd be looking at that and be saying, what do you put matches on a bloody Monday for? But actually it makes sense.
Yeah, especially on whatever about a regular Monday, but a bank holiday Monday, I was kind of, I saw 3 o'clock and I was like, oh God, like that's early now to be leaving to go to Wexford. But I liked it. I enjoyed it,
I thought it was good. And I think we have the other bank holidays in May and June, I think, have fixtures as well.
We're playing Wexford at home. I think that's the May one. It's a 5 o'clock kickoff, so it's not quite 3 o'clock early, but it's still an early kickoff for Wexford supporters that want to make the trip. That'll be a more accessible one for them to get to. So
it's just over 2 hours to get up there, for them to come down to us as well.
We were only saying it's nearly the same amount of time that it takes to get to Dublin, but it feels much closer than Dublin. Like, you nearly consider Wexford one of the closer away games.
Well, distance wise it is, it's just you're going on smaller roads.
That's it,
you have to go through a few towns as well.
Exactly, it's just the journey flies much more than going up to, say, a Shamrock Rovers or
you have
a
to go through the roundabout town. I obviously Dungavin, like, how many roundabouts in one town? But what a start to that match yesterday. Like, it was, first of all, it was brilliant to see Jaden make his full debut.
Yeah, to start the game was brilliant. He did well, I thought, when he came on Friday.
He did.
So I was kind of hoping he'd start, and then he did start. And we were joking in the car on the way up. I was just like so confident he was going to score. And then it was, I think, was it like 3 or 4 minutes in? He did score. And that was brilliant.
Like, he took his
really good goal as well. There's a funny clip. Bagsy was running down the wing to cross it in. And after he crossed it, I don't think many people saw this, but after he crossed it, he kept running and he just ran straight into Kev, the photographer, like Barry Dorney, and just poor Kev got clattered. I'll try and get the clip of that up. Yeah, he put in a great ball and really good finish from Jaden as well. Great start to the game. Kind of hoped we'd get another one or two after that, but
it looked like we were well on top in the first half.
Yeah,
all over them. Like, there was a couple of saves from the keeper there and stuff like that, but just couldn't get the ball over the line. Like, I don't know what was happening. Then the second half kind of dropped off a bit.
Yeah, you know, you heard the cliche, like a tale of two halves. It was nearly two different games.
They were a stronger team in the second half. They came out fighting.
They did. They always looked like they were the ones that they were going to get a goal. Kind of got the sense that, you know, the chances we had in the first half that we didn't score, you'd regret not taking those.
Yeah, I think if we got a second or third, like if we got the second one in, I think we would have killed them off. We'd probably be getting a third, but the fact that we didn't, I think then the momentum swung their way.
Yeah.
And they got that goal.
Yeah.
And we just struggled then after that, then really, didn't we? Kind of, there was a couple of chances, but nothing clear cut. I know he swapped a few players around yesterday. Like, there was a couple of, like, Jack didn't play, Nathan didn't play.
Yeah. I think there was 3 or 4 changes on Friday night. And that's going to happen when there's Friday, Monday, two Friday games. But yeah, I actually spoke to Tim after the game, and he said the same, that the first half performance was good, but he was pretty disappointed then with the second half.
Really, really disappointed and frustrated with the second half. I thought the first half we were very good. We got a great goal early on with Bagsy down the right and cross it, and Jaden gets a very good goal back post. And we had a few other chances. We probably should have gone more ahead in the first half. And we controlled the game. We passed it well. We moved the ball well. And again, in the second half, like this, we speak about half time, saying we need to pass. We need to move it quicker. Shift them about, and second half we're completely off the game. It's first half was probably as good as we were controlling the game this season, and second half was probably as poor as we were. It was really, really disappointing.
Yeah, he kind of said similar to what we said, really, didn't he? He was kind of a tale of two halves.
Yeah, and as he said, like, the first half was a great start and great to see Jaden get a goal, and there were chances being created, and it just felt completely different second half. Don't know what the reason was, or
we could see he was frustrated himself after that, because I suppose the big thing was, at that point, you know, we would have been, you know, 3 points ahead. We would have actually been more until Finn Harris played. We would have been, I think, possibly even 5 or 6, I think, at that point of the day, because we were the only, ourselves and the Cove, I think, were playing at 3 o'clock. The rest were playing afterwards at 5, I think. But now there's only 1 point between ourselves and Finn Harps.
Yeah.
Both played the same. Yeah. When we've probably, you know, we should be more. You know, so.
Yeah, and to be fair, the Finn Harps game as well was probably, we played them a couple of weeks ago, that ended 1-1, and that was kind of a similar one where there was a good 45 and a not so great 45. And it's games like that, they're the kind of games you're frustrated after, because you should have won them. And you could be more points ahead. Like,
it's probably, look, I'd imagine from Tim's point of view as well, there's a lot of players trying to get used to each other here. We're still in the early days. We're only like a month and a half into the new season.
Exactly, yeah. Like, we're What is it? 7 games in? We're still top of the table. I know, like, we've been scoring. We haven't been scoring as many as we want to, but we're still top of the table. We've been scoring. You do get a sense that there's going to be a lot more goals to come and a lot of really good performances to come. So, like, this, I don't see any reason to kind of be...
You don't need to get out the violins yet anyway.
Exactly, yeah. No, I think, like, we're still favourites to win the league. It's been a good start.
All right.
there's more games to come where you'd expect us to win, pick up more points along the way. So
when we click, I think we'll really click. We'll probably score a good number of goals in some match. So,
yeah, we've actually, even the goals that have been scored, there's 7 different scorers already, which is, like, that's really good.
And, like, if you think about it, Cahill broke the record a few weeks ago as the youngest player, you know, for the men's first team at 17. And then
Jaden broke
it. He only had the record,
yeah,
I'd say, about 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Next thing, Jaden breaks it. You know what I mean? So it's, so that, and that's the one thing I would say. The young kids up there yesterday, I know my own young fellow was with me, but they're excited by seeing the younger players.
Yeah.
There's a buzz.
Exactly, there
and
is, yeah.
I see a couple of kids, come here, you're like a celebrity yourself. There's a few kids coming up to you getting selfies there before the match yesterday.
There's one or two were watching the old TikToks last week and they're doing
where
well.
Where were you? You weren't there Sunday night.
I know, yeah, I'm being held to a schedule now, yeah.
There was a young fella there, he was putting it to you yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
He was same where were you on Sunday night, he was waiting for the video.
Yeah, so we'll have to make that a regular part of the routine now because I'm being punished for not doing it, so we'll add that to the calendar as well.
But you were a busy man over the weekend, so to be fair to you, like, you were travelling on Saturday as well.
I know, I had to find time to eat Easter eggs as well, like, do you know what I mean? That's why there was there was nothing done on Sunday. But no, we were busy as well. It was 3 games in 4 days over the weekend, so we were in Dalymount Park on Saturday with the women's first team, and that was a cracker of a game. 1-0 win.
But there could have been more, I think, because they had a good few chances.
Yeah, it's a bit like the game last week in Ferry Carrick Park. That one was a 2-2 draw, and there could have been 4 or 5 goals for City. And it was the same on this Saturday. Like, Eva hit the post, the first half kind of post and crossbar, the same shot. Kira Senna had a free kick chance that just went over. Eva did score. The goal she got then was a cracker of a goal.
Unbelievable. Like, goal of the season kind of stuff there.
It's a funny one. Like, she got it. The touch, like, I think it was Colleen gave it to her. The touch was incredible. She turned and got the space, and you just knew, like, not only was she going to shoot, there was just, like, you knew it was going in. She does it all the time. How many goals she scored like that, you see her in training doing stuff like that. It's ridiculous. But yeah, 1-0 win, and another one where you could come away nearly disappointed you didn't win 2 or 3-0.
Was there much of a crowd up there?
There was, yeah, there was, to be fair. The Bulls have been getting all right crowds this year. It's kind of the one stand they have open. I don't have a number on it, but there was a good crowd, good atmosphere as well there, to be fair. They had a kind of almost like a cheerleader bringing group of kids around doing their B-O-H-S chant.
Oh yeah.
So there was a good atmosphere and a good crowd, but like, City dominated the game itself. Bowes had not even a spell of chances, kind of a half spell of half chances towards the end, but like, you nearly knew City were going to win the game, which hasn't been like that at a women's game for a while, and it was brilliant to see. It's like the hard work of this season and pre-season has been paying off, which is great.
Did you get a chance to catch up with Danny?
I did. I spoke to Danny after the game. He was delighted, yeah. He was a bit defiant after the game because we'll talk about it here, but there was a couple of predictions from outside that kind of weren't tipping City to win. It was at a 4-0 or a 4-1 loss that was predicted. But Danny kind of came out swinging in his post-match piece.
You know, buzzing with it, to be fair. Like, the clean sheet and 3 points, like, is massive. Like, for their confidence, like, because they do the work, and I just want to see them be rewarded for the things they do. And like, I'm so pleased for them. And like, they put their bodies on the line, done the things that the horrible part of the game. Look, second half wasn't pretty, but we changed and said, look, don't play out so much, go a bit longer, spin it in behind them and cause some problems. And like, they took on board the information, and that's why they get the result that they got.
Before the game, it wouldn't have been a result that many people saw coming. And I suppose with the performance last week now and today, is it kind of hoping it's turned the corner now and we're a new side?
Yeah, like, I don't really care about all of them, not to be honest, but they've all got something to say, and far too much, and they don't really know anything about us. So like, people can keep saying what they want to say, but do you know what? We're going to keep believing in ourselves. We're going to keep trying to do the right thing.
A very windy afternoon there in Dalymount Park, as you can hear.
We're up on top of a mountain, what?
But it's very defiant.
There was a bit of a fight in Danny there.
Do you know what, right? That sort of stemmed from, to be fair to the FAI or the league account, they've done this thing where they've started to get Irish internationals or ex-players from the league predicting
the results,
a match day's results or whatever. And it's like, it's good content. Like, it's great from their point of view, but it's everyone's just kind of biting back when their predictions are wrong.
It's going to cause debate at the minute.
Exactly, yeah. So like, a few of our girls and the club account as well kind of replied to, I can't remember, was it Kira Grant did the predictions this week. She had us to lose 4-0 or 4-1, and I think she had Treaty to lose to Shamrock Rovers as well, so Treaty jumped on that as well when they drew 2-2. But it's funny, it's just a bit of fun from the clubs, really. Like, there's no sort of actual anger or malice or anything replying to it. It's just kind of, you know, it's social media content. It's kind of opens up for debate, as you said.
And actually, one of the people that is retweeting it is our guest this week. I see Ciara McNamara actually retweeted and kind of put a kind of an old emoji or something like that.
Yeah, that was a classic, you know, the old one emoji tweets.
So, yeah, I know it's... it's great when it goes the other way.
Exactly.
You know, if someone's saying, no, you're going to lose, and the next thing you can come back and prove a point.
It gives you a bit of motivation as well to go and do something. So it's
I spoke
it's
to Danny at halftime on Friday night at the Cross, and I said, how are you feeling about tomorrow? And he says he was quite confident. And in fairness, he was. He said, we should have probably won last week. And he said, I think we'll win tomorrow.
Yeah, even with that stuff, like Danny's very sort of headstrong. He doesn't really listen to much of what's said outside. Like someone could tell you Cork City are the worst team in the world. He'll tell you, like say himself to the best team in the world. Do you know what I mean? Like he believes in himself and in his squad, and the last two games very much proven right. So yeah, Danny wouldn't pay too much attention to all that stuff from the outside.
Well, I think maybe we should bring in one of his own players in for a chat. Would we bring in Ciara McNamara?
Yeah, let's get her in.
Welcome to the podcast, Ciara.
Thanks for having me.
Well, it's off the back of a great win at the weekend anyway.
Yeah, I suppose it's it's always hard to go up there, and you're going, it's not a great place to go at the best times, let's be honest, but brilliant to get a clean sheet as well, and especially when they were having a good run of form as well, so it's good, happy coming out this week,
And a great goal too.
Come here. We were on the sideline and we were like, she touched it, we were like, oh, she's taking too far, and then you're kind of like the edge of your seat, like edging out, and then when it hit the back of the net, we went mental on the sideline, it was class, and she does it in training, so it's about time she got one on a match. Yeah, it's about time she got one on a match now, to be fair.
I suppose before we get into it, let's take us back. A lot of people won't be familiar with the women's game because obviously it's a podcast for the whole club.
Yeah.
It's gone a lot bigger over the last couple of years, but I'd imagine when you kicked off playing, there was only a handful of girls playing. Would I be right in saying that?
Yeah, I suppose I came into the league in 2014, I think.
After kind of kicking off around that time. Yeah, I think 2011, was it?
Yeah, I think so. And there was only a couple of teams in it then,
About eight.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. So it wouldn't be it's changed drastically, since I came in. You'd have maybe your mum and dad at the match, but now you're getting
crowds,
Do you know what I mean? And even the level of player that's in the league now, you'd had, I suppose you still have the likes of Kylie Murphy and all them, but you'd have had girls who, with all due respect, are probably local league level, and they'd been playing National League, whereas now there's a lot of young internationals, there's even senior internationals, you look at the likes of Anya Garman and Steph Zambra in Rovers, so it's grown savagely since I started all those years ago.
So you're at the club about 10 years, so this year?
10 years, 11 seasons, yeah.
Before that, where were you? Were you playing local level?
Yeah. So I started with it would have been Mary's lads. I was about 5, I'd say. And
so you were playing with the academy boys there at the time, yeah?
Yeah. So there wouldn't have been a girls' team in the north side. The nearest one to me was probably Wilton. And even when I started, when I was about 5, there probably wouldn't have been, I don't even know, there might have been underage, I'm not sure. So I would play with the lads till I was about 12, I'd say.
And how'd you find that?
Grand, they were in class with me, so I was like, oh, Ciara's one of the lads who play soccer. Do you know what I mean? I didn't even bat an eyelid. It was only kind of went to other teams and they go, oh, they have a girl. And you're like, then you kind of go, oh, but sure, I was just one of the lads. They took they treated me no different.
But by probably about 10 or 11, you were probably nearly bigger than some of them anyway, because the girls kind of develop quicker, don't they, than the lads?
Yeah, there was a few small fellas, all right, yeah. God love them. I still played, I play centre half now, and I played centre half then. So, you'd always have a really tall fella, and you'd always have, God love him, a small little fella.
Yeah.
And you kind of look back and you go, oh, God, he was probably in the horrors, a girl coming in heading ahead of him, I'd say he got an office lag, but as I said, I just kind of, I didn't see anything different, and I played there until I was about 10 or 12 or something like that. And then there was a rule, I don't know if the rule is still there now, that you can't play after a certain age.
It's probably because they go into leagues, is it?
Something like that.
Because up until under 11s, they're not really in leagues at all. They're only just playing kind of organised friendlies and competitions.
For fun or whatever. Yeah. And then I went to Wilton, the nearest club to me.
Denise O'Sullivan would have been in Wilton as well. Yeah. Was she there at the time?
We would have played together, yeah. So there would have been myself, Denise, we would have won National Cups together. We actually brought Denise everywhere in our car. We collected her. We brought her out. And then you had the likes of Amanda Budden. She plays on Golf for Rovers. She would have played with us. Lara Murphy, who also played National League. Amy O'Connor, Cork Camogie. She played in that team as well. There was a good calibre player at that time.
So a lot of players kind of from the north side of the city would have gone to Wilton.
Yeah, I think so.
They were kind of the club, I suppose. No, you know, Bishopstown, kind of that area is close enough anyway. Yeah. But so, I mean, it was a strong team. So in many ways, like, you were getting the best kind of underage players, kind of gathering, kind of creating like a little super team.
Yeah, yeah, it was class. And I suppose Wilton, like, anyone who knows Croc soccer in girls anyway, then under Wilton, like, a lot of good players went to Wilton. And Pat Bowden and Stephen Lynch were kind of the driving force behind them. Again, like, we would have had, even like, you look at the likes of Laura Shine, she's with us now, she would have played with Wilton as well. Ellie O'Brien, another Northside girl, played with Wilton, like, so it was just kind of a hub, I suppose, for Northside players to go to. And then, like, there would have been teams then set up in the Northside, so my dad would have seen the need for a girls team in the Northside, so he would have established it with Mary's, and then they changed to Hollyhill. And, like, it's funny, like, when we look back and when I talked to dad about, like, they set up a team first, like, and no disrespect to the girls that are there, and they say it themselves, like, they were getting hammered, like, and I said, Tad, I'm not coming back, like, and playing for a team was getting hammered 10-0 every week, like, after winning the National Cup at Wilton, like, do you know?
Yeah.
But I did come back in the end, and we were successful enough, in fairness, like, but yeah, we always
joked. You went from Wilton back to Mary's?
Back to Mary's, and then Mary's changed to Hollyhill. Like, we moved from Kilcully. Just between logistics and stuff, that we weren't getting pitch time and things like that, like a lot of other clubs, I suppose, but we just took the leap to kind of set up a girls only club.
Were you playing up by Castleview and stuff then?
We were playing the back of the Terence Pasquini school, the pitch back there, and we played there. They're still there now. It's only one team there now, but we played there, and like a lot of players, even girls from, there was girls from Mallow and stuff like that, like, even came to the club, like, so we would have been successful enough as well, like, we would have won Munster Cups and things like that, like, and a lot of our players actually went on to play for City, like Natalie O'Brien. She's not with City anymore, but she would have played with Hollyhill as well, like, so we would have had a good calibre of player kind of feeding through into Cork City and stuff like that, like, so it's always something we're very proud of. Well, my dad's very proud of anyway, I suppose.
That's kind of, between your dad and yourself, like, there was a bit of a legacy then being created there in the north side, and hopefully will continue on for years.
Yeah, yeah, I suppose, yeah. God, I wouldn't let him hear that now that he's created a legacy, his head be getting too big. but yeah, no, I suppose it was, like, and he's still coaching younger players now, like, and he's, you know, the coaches, I suppose, aren't there to have a full kind of setup for the club, but he's always kind of, you know, pointing the girls the right direction as best he can, whether it's Wilton, whether it's Lakewood, just where they can play football, you know, and he's always said, like, he'd never stand anyone's way to go to a better club or to better opportunities, things like that. Like, and again, like, when we were at Hollyhill, like, I think I got to, what age is it, about 18, and I went to the Euros in Finland, or Norway, I should say, and then it kind of came to stage where I was like, I think I need to go, like, I think I need to move on to National League. But, like, it was Cork Women's at the time, like, and they were...
Yeah, it wasn't Cork City at the time. No. They were a separate club.
Yeah, it wasn't...
Were they playing in CIT, which is now MTO? Like, they were playing out there, I think.
Yeah, they were playing in the... Not the GA stadium, it was, like, the one above, like, where the running track is around. Yeah. That one. Not a great pitch, like, but they were kind of playing there. And then I think they moved to Bishopstown or something anyway, but it wasn't too appealing, like, let's put it that way. And even, I suppose, when I kind of moved... It wasn't the most appealing either. There was two of us, myself and Shannon Carson, another top player, doesn't play anymore, but like we moved to Cork City at the same time, on the back of the Euros, and like, you know, we would have had an okay season. I think if we got 4 points, I'd say we got a lot, to be honest. But it was just changing then. So there's still kind of the, like, you know, people still didn't want to play for Cork Women's at the time, like, it was still kind of frowned upon, I suppose, like, you know, so
that playing for your local club was nearly better in many ways.
Yeah, a lot. And then you'd have had players going to different clubs as well, like, you know, you'd Claire Shine went up to Raheny, like, you know what I mean. Now look, she was very successful there, like, but people just didn't want to play for Cork Women's, whatever it was. I don't know what it kind of stemmed from originally. I don't know, was there friction between the league and then Cork Women's? I don't know what happened, but
but do you think Cork was kind of slow to get off the mark with women's football compared to, like, let's say Dublin?
Yeah.
You know, were they streets ahead?
Well, when they started first, Cork Women's, like, they had the likes of Denise, they had, you know, Amanda Budden, they had the Laura Lynch's. I don't know what happened. Was it the managers or what? I don't know. Was there, like, a gap in kind of ages or something? I'm not sure. But, like, Dublin teams are always strong. Like, there's a load more people up there, but we just kind of, I suppose, fell by the wayside, really. Maybe we didn't get the backing that other teams got. Like, you look at, like, Wexford, like, you know, they've always had huge back and they've always had a good quality player as well, like, but I don't know, for whatever reason Cork was just left behind, I suppose. Do you know,
when you broke into the Irish underage setup, so we at Wilton or were you at Mary's at the time?
I think
when did you first get in?
I think I was at Mary's, I think. Yeah, it would have been Mary's. I think it would have been about 13 or 14, I'd say. So yeah,
it's been brilliant. Like a brilliant feeling for the club as well, though.
Yeah, yeah, it was class. Like, and like you, I remember you go up and even for trails, like at the time you still put on the jersey. So like you didn't know if you'd make the team or not. So like you, your mom and dad would be like, get a photograph there now, like in case you never get to wear the jersey again, do you know? But it was huge. Like I remember going to our first kind of trip. Like it was over to Birmingham, I think. We played England. Like, don't ask me now who was on the English team. I always tried to find, you know, you get the team sheets. I'm always intrigued to know, like, who did I play against? Like, there's definitely girls playing WSL that we probably played against, I'd say. That's what I'm going to say anyway.
That always happens, actually. People forget who they actually play against. Yeah. Don't they? Like, and I suppose they're younger too, though. At that age,
yeah,
they don't look like the people that they are now. Yeah. You know?
We had two good games against England that time, and that was kind of gave me the taste for, like, okay, I think I want to keep going and play for Ireland as best I can, you know? And, like, kind of every team I went for after that, then I was lucky enough to get selected for.
Did you play all the way up to under-19s, was it?
Yeah, I did, yeah. I suppose the most memorable one was going to Norway to European finals. Like, we got to semi-finals that year. Like, whoa. It was, when you look back and you look at the two players that were there, like, you had Katie McCabe there, like, do you know, and you're looking where she is now, you had Claire Shine, Sarah Rowe, do you know what I mean?
That probably kind of created the pathway for the recent success, though, I'd imagine. The confidence, in many ways, it reminds me Brian Kerr's underage teams years ago did the same thing. They went on to go into World Cups and stuff. That underage team did the same for you.
Yeah, I suppose that's
created
true.
Created a lot of the team for Vera Powell and stuff like
true.
That.
True, yeah, I never actually thought about it like that, but that's probably...
You got confidence, probably.
Yeah, and I suppose we kind of, you know, the rest of Europe kind of went, oh, they can actually, they're not too bad, them. You know, and I suppose that spurred on girls to go, well, you know, I'm going to make a living out of this. You know what I mean? That probably spurred on Katie, probably put her on the map to... You know, if the likes of Arsenal and stuff like that, to go, come here, she's not bad, we'll have her, you know. But yeah.
And it came at the right time for many of them because it was starting to become more professional in England in particular, and I know in Scotland as well, and across Europe. So we were starting to see a change in the game, because if I go back to you as the young girl playing, and let's say we're playing with all the boys, did you have someone to look up to at that stage?
I don't think so. Like, no one sticks out, you know. I'm trying to even think, like, I think we went to one Irish game. It was up in St. Pat's Ground, can't think of the name of the place. Up there anyway, I think. And I think, I remember Ciara Grant, she played midfield, she played for Arsenal at the time. That's the only
person.
I suppose Katie Taylor was there, but she wasn't Katie Taylor as we know her now,
of course,
you know?
Yeah, I forgot that she played football before she went into the boxing.
Other than that, like, there was no one that you go, I want to be her. Yeah. You know what I mean? It was all, like, coming from Man United household, like, it was Roy Keane. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But no, there was no female, even like in sports in general, I don't think there was anyone that I went, oh God, do you know, like, I want to be like them, or I want to be as successful as them, do you know? But thankfully now, there
it's
is.
Changed a lot.
Hugely, yeah. Hugely. Like, even at our matches now, like, you have signing girls' autographs, you know, there's girls asking you for, like, go-go's, like, do you know what I mean? You're kind of walking over, they're like, give me your boots, give me whatever, like, and you're going, I can't give me boots, like, I don't get ones every week, but they go, give me your go-go, and you're like... All right, like, and they're weak then, like, because they've, you know, Ciara Max goal, like, or whatever, like, but you go to our games, like, where when I started first, like, you, sure, as I said, like, you barely have your mum and dad. Do you know what I mean? So it's grown
hugely.
Early
games,
like,
for Cork women's team, there was hardly anyone there.
Yeah, not that I can remember. And I remember my dad shouting, but that's not new. He still shouts now, like, but they're, like, there was more of an echo, let's put it that way.
Was it around the same time that Stephanie Roach got that goal, that kind of won the goal? Like,
oh, yeah.
It would have been around that time, would it?
It probably would have been, yeah.
Where she was up for the Puskas Award.
Yeah.
That kind of shot a lot of kind of limelight on the league all of a sudden. Just one goal created this whole kind of excitement, and she became a pundit on TV afterwards and things like that. And she was making even appearances in nightclubs around the place.
It did, I suppose. Like, I remember that goal, and we were all like, you know, you see it on the telly, and I remember seeing her, like, there's pictures of her walking out past, like, Ronaldo, Messi, like, you know what I mean? And you're going, like, I'm playing against her next Saturday, like, do you know what I mean? That kind of thing, like, so it was huge for the league. And look, for just where she made what she could of it, like, she went to America, she went to Italy and stuff like that. Like, she's back playing the league now, but, like, I suppose she's probably one of the driving forces of the league, you know, which is great. Like, and, you know, it's just fantastic for the league now that it's grown to what it is, you know.
So when you joined Cork women's team at the time, you were about, what, 17?
I was just turned 18, I think, and I joined in September, yeah.
And the first few seasons, tricky, or, like, how did you find it?
Tricky, I suppose, like, the first season, I saw it as a challenge that, like, I came back from international thing. I was like, right, I'm going to kind of, I won't say make a name for myself because I was still very young, but I wanted to show that, like, you know, that I came back from the Irish thing and this is what I can do type thing, you know, and maybe that would bring more girls in. And I actually think we drew against Piemont that year. It was the first point, like, in how many years, like, and we were like, oh my God. Now, we did get beat against Raheny 11-1 that season. But I always remember we always scored first. We were like, oh my God, we're after scoring. This could be brilliant. They got a few more after that, like, but it was...
Like, when you go back into a dressing room after losing 11-1 in a National League, how does that feel?
You're just hoping someone from the Echo wasn't there. Do you know what I mean? But it's just, like, I suppose, what can you say? Like, you know, I was...
It's hard to pick yourself up after that, though.
I think it was near the end of the season, which was probably a good thing in itself. But, like, I mean, I think Charlie Lynch was the manager at the time, like, and I think he just said, we were beaten by a superb outfit, like, and it really kind of hit home to me, right, this is how far we're off the mark, like, you know, you shouldn't be getting beat that, you know, in any league really. But yeah, it's a bit of a soul destroying one, especially when you're younger and you're only kind of starting out. But the seasons after that then weren't as bad, thank God. You know, so we kind of grew then from there, and we got more points, we got more players in,
a bit more confidence.
Yeah.
And did you feel that there was a kind of a change in attitude towards the club then?
Yeah,
in,
definitely.
In Cork in general, in that, like, people were like saying, no, I did, you know, I would sign for him. I'm not going to just go up to Dublin or stick with my local club, like.
Yeah, I think it was kind of when Niall O'Regan came in then. I don't know what it was. Was it his connections with the FA or what the story was? But a lot of players started to kind of come in then. We needed a few seasoned players and that, like, that had experience, maybe underage international, but they would have played in the local league for a while. And there was kind of more players came in, and then the younger players then started coming. The likes of Saoirse Noonan came in when she was 16, and things of that. So, like, in Ava Manny's, Zara Foley's, you know, they all started coming in around that time. So it was really like a change in attitude, which was brilliant, because, like, the seasons before, like, you're going, come here, I can't go through this again. But thankfully now it's the girls coming through now, there's the academies and all that kind of stuff. So thankfully that kind of, that attitude has changed.
And, like, what were you doing outside then? Because obviously you'd finished school at this point. You're gone into the league. Did you go to college, go straight into work, or what did you do?
No, I went to UCC. I was there for 5 years. Everyone says, oh, you're definitely repeating here. No, I wasn't. But they always slag me, like, God, you were in UCC for ages. And I'm kind of going, like, see, I did a social science, which was a 3-year degree. And then I did a postgrad in youth work. And then I did a master's in youth arts and sports education. So technically speaking, if people only did the 4-year and their 1-year master's, they'd be the same as me. But since I did 3 courses, they thought I was, you know, I don't know, a bit behind, I suppose, or something, I don't know. But I was lucky enough to get the Roy Keane scholarship for 4 years, and then I got the Cork City scholarship then for the final year, yeah.
And what, like, did you have to apply for the Roy Keane scholarship?
Yeah, I think, I don't know who told me about it. It could have been, like, the likes of Laura Lynch, you know, or something, who would have been in UCC, and they were like, oh, just apply for that, like, I don't know any different, like.
Is it for people who play for sport?
Yeah, solely for soccer, and there was always one girl got it, and then there was usually 2 lads. And then it was kind of, how much was it the first year? Was it like €1,000 split over 2 semesters, like, which isn't a lot. If you look at the different, like, the American scholarships and things like that, or the Quirk scholarships. But, like, I was lucky that, like, Susie paid my tuition fees and I was living at home. So, like, I didn't have that much expense, but, like, it just allowed me then not have to get a part-time job. I was lucky. Like, I did stuff in the summer, but I didn't really have to get stuff mid-season then.
So you could concentrate on football besides the study, like.
Yeah, and it was good in that way. Like, and it kind of went up then. I don't know, did Roy put in more money or did the college put in more money? I don't know, but it kind of went up then to about 2 or 3 grand by the time I was finished with it. So that's decent enough. And then the Cork City one then kind of paid for my master's, so I was lucky, you know.
It was kind of good also, because you looked up to Roy as a kid,
yeah,
and then you end up on his scholarship. Yeah, so, yeah, like, yeah. You know, it's lovely, like, and the fact, you know, he came up from close enough to where Mary's is and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah, true.
I know his parents live out, his mom lived out that way.
Yeah, they used to live out in Rappeek, and I think I actually live next door to Rockmount now, so it kind of all falls into place.
Oh, the same area, like,
And I know, like, when I was in college, like, you know, you'd get the top and it would say, like, Roy Keane scholarship, like, so you'd be kind of walking around with a bit of a walk, like. But I always thought that he might come over, because he did come over a couple of years previous. I said, oh, he's due a visit home now, like, I get to meet Roy Keane or whatever, like, never happened. I know, never happened. But and I don't think the scholarship's there anymore, for whatever reason, I don't know. But look, I was just lucky enough to get the scholarship, I suppose. I was, you know, it, as you said, like, it helped me focus on football, like, as opposed to you know, working and things like that, like.
And around the same time then, I suppose, you're probably about to do your Masters and City go on a run in the Cup. New manager, Frank, kind of came into the team then, and after Niall, was it?
Yeah, Frank would have kind of came in as assistant with Niall, and then Niall got his role in the FAI, the bigger role in the FAI, so he probably couldn't commit, and with a young family as well, like it was hard. So Niall kind of took, or Frank kind of took over then mid, kind of the end of the season, and then he sat through 2016 or whatever, and then 2017, I think I was I just enrolled in the postgrad, I can't remember, but yeah, that was some run. Holy God.
It was unexpected, I'd imagine.
Definitely.
Like you were about fifth in the league at the time or something like that, like. But to play in the Aviva, but even to win the semi-final, I think he beat Wexford or something in the semi-final. 3-0. And they would have been a good team, wouldn't they, at the time?
Yeah, they would have been class. They had like Sirianna Jarre, Claire Reardon, you know. But like, I remember we actually got Piemont in the quarter-final. We beat Piemont and Bishopstown. Like. So like, even to get to, I think we only beat Lakewood 1-0 in the first round, which was like, it was tough enough. Like we were sweating at that stage. And then to beat Piemont was a 3-2, I think. And then Wexford 3-0, and it was meant to be played in Ferry-Carrig, and for whatever reason they moved it to Bunclody, I think. I don't know, did they think it would suit them better or what? It was a smaller pitch, like, so you'd imagine bigger pitch would suit Wexford, but we beat them 3-0. It was unreal. Like, we never thought we'd get to pass Piemont, not a mind say beat Wexford at home and then go to play in the Aviva, like, do you know?
Like, what was that like, walking out onto the pitch in the Aviva?
Unreal. It, like, I know it was people say, oh, you know, the crowds, whatever, blah, blah, wasn't full. No one gives a shit. Like, sorry, no.
Did you get a chance?
Yeah, you were playing your national stadium, like, and you'll never forget it. It was class, like, because, like, City were there as well on the day.
That's right.
You know, so it did make it all that bit more special. Do you know, and then you sing the national anthem and, you know, you see yourself on the big screen. It's cool, like, it was no cool, in fairness. You always look back and go, Jesus, like, I'd love to play there again, but they've changed the venue for the cup final. Look, that's another discussion, but like, I just think it should be in the Aviva, no matter who's attending or how many are there. You should have the option to play there.
Yeah, because a lot of people think, you know, it should be a standalone event. But maybe what did you feel like? Did you mind that it was before the men's senior final?
No, I didn't. I think if you ask anyone who played that day, would have said yeah. I know it was a 11:30 kickoff.
It was early, all right.
It was an early one, but like we stayed up night before anyway, so it was all the one. But like, I think, I don't know. If anyone says they want to play in Tala, I don't know, do they really want to play in Tala, or are they just going to say it to kind of keep a PC? But like, you know, it's the Aviva, like, how could you not want to play in the Aviva? I don't know. It's just surreal, like, even the restrooms, and you go for the walk through the day before, like, it's just, you're like, you know, you're so small inside there and you're looking up going, oh my, you only see it in telly, like.
And
you
think
of
the history that's gone on in the players and stuff, and the amount of stars that have played there over the years.
Yeah.
You know.
Unreal. Oh, absolutely unreal. And then to win it, like, just...
And for you to get to lift the cup, because you were the captain. Yeah. You were young enough, like.
Yeah, what was I? 21, I think. 2021. Yeah, it was unreal. Like, some 21st year now. But yeah, no, it was classic. I remember just walking up, and I always remember to myself, don't fall now, you're on telly, don't fall. Like, you're 5 moments of fame, 5 minutes of fame, don't fall now. Like, but yeah, no, it was unreal. Like, and like, at that time, a lot of the men's crowd had come in, and I think it was John Kennedy, God rest him, got a lot of people in for the last few minutes, and then like going over to the over to your parents' stuff and seeing all the City flags, like, it was unreal.
Brilliant.
Absolutely class, like, you know. Sure. And then the lads winning then as well, like, was just, oh, the place went mad.
And like, I remember, I'd say you know, John was always great for bringing the cups everywhere and stuff like that, but I think he had a few of you out. I think like maybe a week or two afterwards there was like lights turning on in Mahon Point or something like that. And there was the men's team and the women's team and there was players from each or whatever, but it was great to see it. It was the first time I felt that there was a unity. I know you were only after kind of getting aligned with four at the time. It wasn't official, I think.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it was the start. So it was a lovely time to kind of kick all that off, like, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think we're probably the only club that has ever had two teams in the final on the same day, and that'll never be done again if it's a standalone event. Do you know what I mean?
For two to win it on the same day, yeah, like, it's
one thing having two there, but to win it, like, because I always remember people saying, like, oh, it'd be great now if you could get there and whatever, and then to win it, like, but it was just...
And did you come back to celebrate with the lads as well that time?
We did.
Did you get to go into Soho and all
of
that?
We did, of course, we did. I remember, like, I don't drink, so it's all fresh in my mind.
You can remember what
I can remember. Yeah, there's some mad stories, and I won't say what now, like, but people that were there will know exactly what I'm on about. There was, and it was like the Monday night then was the big kind of night when there was, like, you know, they were like, oh, you're going on stage now and there'll be a crowd. We were like, should it probably only be like, you know,
a handful of people.
Yeah, a handful. Mm-hmm. And you're kind of getting the feeling, come on, there's a good few there, you know? And you go out then and you just see the whole place full and you're like, holy Jesus. You know, it's just like, and you knew the fans were behind you, but you didn't know how much they were behind you until then, like, you know. And it was brilliant that we were able to tie in with the lads. And I think the 17s won the league as well. The lads won that year as well. And the lads won the double, like, you know what I mean? And it was great for us that they did that. It promoted us as a club, as a team, and as players as well, I suppose. And, like, the club were very good and kind of, you know, I think I went on telly with Alan Bennett, like, 2 days later or something on Today Show. Like, that wouldn't have been done before, like, you know. And I don't, you know, it's mad, like, to think of what happened after. And as you said, like, we were at Turn on the Lights in Manpoint, Bandon, you name it, schools, the whole lot, like, I think.
Yeah, you probably got to go to different schools for a year after then.
Yeah, it was class. I think we actually, Trish Fenley Hunt, she got married that year. Now, she wasn't playing with City, but she had been with City for years. And I remember she texted me, she was like, will you bring the cup down to my wedding? I was like, what? She was like, just bring it down to the reception, like. So she invited a few of us down. I remember we went down with the cup, like, into Little Island. I think she got married down there, and we brought the cup in, like. And it was bittersweet for Trish, and that she didn't win herself, but it was nice that she got her hands on it. Like, she was part of those players that kept the team going when we were getting beat 11-1. Do you know, she was there that kept, then if they didn't keep going.
It's always important to remember, you know, those type of players as well, that, yeah, you know, they'd stick with it because easily the club could fold.
Oh yeah, and they would have folded only for those players, you know what I mean? And I'm always telling the girls now today, like, yeah, it's brilliant, we're playing Turner's Cross, we're getting this, that and the other, but, like, you have to remember as well where it came from. Do you know what I mean? Just to kind of go, right, we're not getting this, but this is what it was like when I joined. Do you know what I mean?
And do a lot of those players go support, you know?
Yeah, they would, I think, yeah. I suppose Trish is above the 19s now. And you'd still see a few at games and things like that, or they'd touch base and they'd say, we're doing well now, or whatever, like, best of luck for this game or whatever, you know. But yeah, no, it is nice to kind of remember those players and just acknowledge the work they did, you know, to pave the way for where we are now, you know.
After, I suppose, the success then of the Cup, you became actual Cork City Women's FC then, at that point.
Yeah.
Frank stayed in charge for a while, but then he went to the men's team or something. What happened there?
He decided to take a step back for whatever reason. I think he kind of went into the men's. I don't know, was it straight away after, or was it?
It might have been a while after.
Something, because he got his pro license anyway. There was some rigmarole. I don't know. I didn't really kind of care too much about it. But, like, he went into the men's team. But then Ronan Collins would have been the academy coach at the time, I think. And he just kind of came in and he was interim at the time. And then it just kind of fell into place, I suppose, that he took the manager's role and stuff like that. So, yeah. And I think he brought Paul Farrell in with him at the time. So they would have stayed for 2.5 years or more, I think, something like that. And I suppose they got us to the cup final then, and another cup final in Tala, unfortunately. and there wasn't many people at that because it was peak COVID, like. But yeah, that wasn't a great day at the office now. If we could have stopped the clock at half time and whatever, it would have been grand. But yeah, the full-time score was 6-0, I think. Yeah, it was a very, very hard one to take. The only kind of, I suppose,
probably nearly worse than the 11-1 in many ways, because it's a final, is it?
Yeah, and it's on RT too, like. You know what I mean? People are texted day before, you know, best of luck. And then you see him work on the Monday. Didn't go great, did it? No, it didn't, no. But look, it was that Pimo team was, you know, they went on to win the cup and the league and the whole lot. But it was a bit of a bittersweet moment because we did keep nil all to half time, and we did have a really good run in the league that year. Just disappointed, and we kind of left that many goals in for ourselves more than anything else. You know what I mean? We knew we weren't 6-0, you know.
Did it reflect the game though on the day, like, or was it, like, were they that strong, like, in the second half?
Truth be told, I can't remember too much. I kind of wiped it, I suppose. But they were strong. There's no two ways about it. They were strong. They had Stephanie Roach and all them as well at that time. They were probably, you probably said 3 goals, I suppose, you know. But I think when they got the third one, the 4th, 5th and 6th came fairly quickly after that. I suppose, you know, then in your head, like, you're not coming back from that, you know. If it's at 2, there's always that hope that we nick one here now. You know, it could be a dodgy few minutes and we could, you know what I mean? But when it goes to that, then you're going, you know. And when you see the change being made, you know then in your own head, right, we're not coming back from this. So it's about trying to close up shop as best you can. But, you know,
would you ever look, obviously that was on television, would you ever go back and look at that then,
that particular game? Not a hope.
No. Park that, that's it, finished.
Yeah, park that one. Now I'd watch the 2017 one, alright, for obvious reasons. But
it's on YouTube actually.
Is it?
Yeah, I saw it there.
No, I wouldn't watch the 2020 one. No, never again. Maybe the first half, but no, I wouldn't do it to myself, like. Do you know what I mean?
So coming out of COVID, then, there was a, I suppose, there's a bit of a momentum then, because the national team were doing well.
Mm.
There was a kind of, what would I say, they were encouraging kids to get to League of Ireland games for women as well.
Yeah.
And it wasn't, like, all of a sudden there was crowds appearing. Or did you notice that yourselves? Like did you see a bit of a momentum coming?
You know, there was, like, and I suppose the change of us going from Bishopstown to the Cross was huge.
Mm.
You know, people probably knew Bishopstown was there, but they didn't really, like, it's an awkward place to get to.
Yeah.
I mean, you can get to the number 8 or whatever, 208, like, but it's grim.
Turner's,
like,
Cross is more central, really.
Yeah, Turner's Cross is the home of Cork soccer, like. Mm. Do you know what I mean? You want, you know, everyone goes, oh, you go down to the Cross. Do you know what I mean? You can come from town, walk out or whatever, and there's plenty of buses and stuff, but it was huge, like, and I suppose that drew more people in.
Mm.
It drew more kind of Cork City fans in, I suppose, you know, bringing their daughters, bringing their sons, whatever the case may be. And yeah, crowds did gradually grow. I think we actually set an attendance record. I can't remember what year it was. Was it 20? I think it was 21, I think. We set a record for the league. Now, it's been beaten since, but, like, that was huge. We were playing Treaty, like, at home, and you're in the dressing room and you can hear the drum from the shed over your head.
Brilliant.
And you're going, am I hearing that now? Like, am I imagining it? Like, and you walk out and, like, I know it's only 1,000 people and, you know, it doesn't feel the Cross, but, like, for us, it was like the Cross was sold out. Do you know what I mean?
It gives you a huge lift, I'd say.
Huge. And you're going, like, your heart is going 90, like, inside the dressing room. But it's brilliant, like, and every little tackle you made, every decision, you know, they were on the ref's back, they were, you know, cheering us on, they were giving the opposition a bit of grief. And it was just, Chmere was brilliant, like, just to see all the young, you know, kids at the end, you know. And to be fair, like, we're probably one of the clubs that have the most consistent, I suppose, attendance. Okay, we didn't hit the 1,000 for games, you know, since, but, like, we've been high enough, you know what I mean? You go to other clubs and there's not that many people there, and there might be a lot of people in the Cross, but they make themselves heard, like, you know what I mean?
Sometimes you're competing with other sports in the summer as well.
Where?
I suppose you're competing with Premier League or whatever on a Saturday afternoon, or you're actually competing with underage.
Yeah.
Sport which are usually on, which aren't on a Friday night, for example, for the men's team, like, but they would be on a Saturday afternoon.
Mm. And I suppose it was always that thing where we play at 2 o'clock, we play at 5 o'clock, we play Sunday.
Mm.
But I think you're probably going to clash with
no matter what you do.
You know, and if people wanted to go to the game, they'll go to the game. Do you know, so it's just, as I said, like, the crowds have kind of been steadily kind of increasing, which is good. And I suppose the club are good to send out tickets to local schools and teams and stuff.
Mm.
And, like, as a team, we've kind of said, you know, we try to get out as best we can to local clubs and do, you know, if it's a session or, you know, just kind of visit things like that. It's good, like, you know, it shows the girls that, look, they're willing to get out and coach you when we don't have training. And hopefully then you kind of draw those in. And once you get the kids in, really, you get the parents in. You know what I mean? So hopefully we can keep that going now and just kind of, you know, get the crowds to rise ever so slightly every week would be great.
And Danny came in last season then. Or was it the season before?
2022. Halfway through, we came in June or July or something like that. Yeah, he's been in several ever since, himself and James.
And how would you find that regime? Is it different to previous regimes?
Yeah.
Yeah?
It's very different, yeah.
In what way?
Well, I suppose Danny is a kind of, well, I suppose if you know Cork City, like, you know Danny Murphy.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? So it was that kind of thing. And he had that connection, I suppose, with the club that maybe other managers didn't have. Himself and James have a good dynamic, I would say, you know, good cop, bad cop, whatever way it might go.
Who's the good cop?
I won't say, you know, depends on the day, depends on the time. But they're like Laurel and Hardy, I suppose, like, they bounce off each other and things like that, like, and it's good that there's two of them there. But yeah, it's very different. It's just the mentality he brought in.
A winning mentality
in it, you know, driving standards and kind of, you're playing for Cork City, like, you need to have pride. I'm not saying the other managers didn't instill that, but when he had that connection, he played for the club, he knows what it's about. He lived in Cork or whatever, so, you know, he knows. So it was just that little kind of a mentality switch, I suppose. And it did take time, there's no phase about it. I think, you know, he didn't realise maybe the calibre of player we had when he came in first. Just, you know, girls probably didn't get the level of coaching that he thought they should have had, or the game understanding. They might not have had that in underage or through the local leagues and stuff, so it did take them time to kind of get their heads around that, and they'll say that themselves, like, but I think now we're at a place where he knows kind of the level we're at, and we know kind of what he wants and stuff like that, for the most part anyway. But yeah, I remember when he came in first, like, he we trained on a Friday and he was talking to me and he was looking at me stupid, like, and I was going, I'm not, like, what he couldn't understand me, like, he was like, I was like, what? He's like, I can't understand your accent. And I said, I can understand yours then. You know what I mean?
How can he not understand? He's been in Cork long enough.
I don't know. And he was like, no, you're gonna have to slow down. I don't know what you're saying. Like, and even to this day, like, I'd say something, he'd look at Shauna, like Shauna McCarthy, and he'd go, what did Max say there? Like, and I'm like, my accent isn't that strong. Like, I'm not speaking Chinese or some language that he doesn't know. God love me, still struggles. Like, but here, he'll get there. Do you know?
Hopefully everyone can understand us today. Anyway, that's all I say. No problem, anyway.
Yeah, so he's grand. He's learning. But yeah, no, it's been a huge change, and it's been a good change really for the club, and just hopefully that we can keep going and, you know, working with Danny and James and stuff like that.
And this season then, a lot of changes, a couple of new players coming in.
Yeah.
A lot of young players on your team as well, isn't there?
There is, but there's actually, and I'm happy to say, there's a lot of girls over the age of 24. Well, when I say loads now, like, there was only like, I'm still the oldest, but like at 27, like, but there's girls.
The oldest
now.
At 27.
Yeah, the oldest at 27. They're like, the mom of the team, and I'm like, yeah, okay, I get it. Like, but if you look at other teams, then like, I'm a spring chicken in comparison to Wexford. Like, there's girls there that are 35, 36. Like,
amazing, isn't it? That's such a different dynamic between City and Wexford. Like,
yeah, it's funny. Like, we have there's a few of us now that are probably 25, 26, 27, and we have group chats called the Pensioners. Like, do you know? Aoife Robinson set that up, Robbo, when she came in. So there's six of us in that chat or something like that. Like, Daro, new signing, Colleen, she's in as well, Christina and Shauna. They're kind of young pensioners, but they're still like the old group, do you know what I mean? They'd be 3 years younger than me, like, but we set that group up just to kind of go, right, you know, we're the old ones, you know. But yeah, I know it's nice to have girls that have that experience as well, because we were very young, like, raw even.
Yeah, kind of 15, 16-year-olds even playing, did you?
Yeah, so Senna was, what, 15 or 16 when she played her first game, do you know? So we did need that that player with a bit of more experience. I suppose life experience, really, as opposed to playing experience, because, you know, you can play all you want, but you need a bit of life experience as well, just when things aren't going your way, or, you know, maybe having a bad run of form, where you can kind of remove yourself and go, right, okay, we've had a bad run, but look, this is where we're going towards, this is the progress we're making, and, you know, just to kind of say, like, it's not to be all and end all at the end of the day. There's worse things in life, you know.
But as a youngster, you think it is.
You think it's to be all and end.
Whereas as you get older,
you learn.
You put it into perspective.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. You always put it into perspective. And I think our sports psychologist, Dennis, has been very good at that. Like, he'd say, it's a moment in time, you know, if you're not playing, if you are playing, like, it's a moment in time. It's, you know, not to kind of, obviously you'll be disappointed if you're not playing or whatever, you're not in the squad, but like, you have to look at it and go, right, it's a moment in time. Like, next week could be different, you know, two or 3 weeks down the lane, they could change something. So you just have to be ready when called upon, you know, and just kind of keep sticking to what you're used to and keep your head down and keep working. And, you know, hopefully those girls with experience will be able to, you know, keep the younger girls going, and, you know.
Like, people wouldn't realise that the G have everything, nearly the men's team have, like, psychologists, strength and conditioning coaches.
Yeah.
Like, what? Like, the psychologist is one-to-one, or is it a team? Like, how does that work?
So it's kind of we have one-to-ones with him, is it like twice or three times a year, depending. Mm. And then he would work with, we also have a leadership group. So I'm in the leadership group, and there's five of us in that. Different ages, different levels of experience and stuff. And then he would do work with the whole group as well. So just kind of, you know, mental strengths, things like that, if things aren't going your way. Mm. You know, we'd reflect on games, things like that, written that we could change from a mental point of view, just preparation for games and things like that, and how to maybe, I suppose, silence the noise outside the dressing room. Mm. You know, you can have people on social media and stuff, and I suppose if you're younger, you could get drawn into it.
And do you get much of that? Would you get abuse, like?
Yeah, you wouldn't get abuse, like, but you'd have the old keyboard warriors, like.
Okay, yeah, giving out,
saying, oh, he should be doing this person should be on, that person should try this way, you know, but you're going, like, if they probably passed in the street, like, they probably wouldn't say it to you. Now, some would, but a lot of the time, so, like.
Just block it out.
Yeah, you just have to block it out, like, or you might see it and you go, oh, yeah, no bother, or, you know, they tag you in this thing or whatever, and you're kind of going, oh, yeah, grand, whatever, like, thanks for the support, you know, you just move on, because you know, like, they don't really know what's going on, like, you know.
So ye, as the older group, definitely have to kind of watch out for the younger players there, because they'd definitely get sucked into that world.
Yeah, they would, I think, and sometimes, like, if you're playing well as well, like, you have to be able to reflect on your performance well, there might be something that you can prove on that you're not, like, most fantastic, you know what I mean, there is always things to improve on, so not to get carried away as well, but as I said, like, as a younger player, like, you could get knocked back very easily. You know what I mean, whereas, you know, someone might say something about me, like, and I'd go, yeah, grand, whatever, like, you know, get
we're seeing that in sport all over the place as well, where people go through spells of, you know, struggle And I'd say it's because of what they're seeing online. Mm. If they have one bad performance, it leads to about 10 or 12, you know, straight away.
Yeah. I suppose we don't get the level of abuse, thankfully, that like the girls in WSL will get, even for like, I think, was it Georgia Stanway 1 year got, she, or was it a bad tackle on someone, and she was getting death threats and everything, like. Do you know what I mean? And look, I know they're professional and all that, and it's different to us, but like,
that's crazy though.
You'd get like, I won't say you'd get that kind of abuse, you'd get weird messages, all right, you know, like weird ones, and you have to block them, like,
because
you know, it wouldn't be good for the head, but like, we wouldn't really get levels of abuse, and hopefully we won't ever get that level of abuse. You get the odd slagging, all right, like, for sure, that's part and parcel of the game.
Yeah, slagging,
you know,
is part of it.
That's grand,
people would probably do that at a match as well.
Yeah, they would. You know, and you'd be like, oh yeah, grand, whatever, do you know. But that's kind of, I suppose, that's in our nature in Cork anyway, that there's a bit of slagging, do you know what I mean? We just kind of mess and joke with each other, do you know, so we're kind of, well, when I say we, the girls from Cork are used to that. We've had to kind of educate the likes of Darrow now and stuff like that. Like, the Cork humour and the Cork slang is a bit different than that in Germany, and Colleen coming in from America, you know, we had to kind of go, right, he's saying this, but he's only joking, you know, that kind of...
It is interesting. We kind of nearly mock ourselves at times, don't we, in Cork? Like, it's a kind of a weird thing, but it seems it's accepted.
Yeah. And I think even when we were doing kind of stuff with Dennis, a sports psychologist, like, we'd be all kind of saying, what are you good at? But he might say something and everyone going to go, I'm all right, like, and I remember Colleen being like, I'm excellent at whatever the case may be. She, like, and we were all kind of looking at her, like, and Dennis goes, yeah, it's an American thing. All right, girls, I'd say, you know. But, like, she's right, like,
she's right.
We should be able to go, I'm excellent at X, Y, Z. You know, we shouldn't be afraid. But I suppose it's a Cork thing and an Irish thing, really. Like, we just,
it's often what holds us back in many sports as well. Yeah. That, you know, this kind of too modest at times. Maybe we need a bit of confidence.
I suppose, yeah, it's almost the underdog mentality then, that you're always like, slag yourself, oh, I'm not good enough, I'm going to prove them wrong, you know. So that's what drives us on, really, like, you know.
And this year, like, I know it was a kind of a mixed start. I suppose the second match was a bit of a heavy defeat in Galway. Yeah. I know you had to swap pitches and stuff. But no, you got to draw in the All-Ireland Cup.
Yeah.
And then you were into this weekend, beat Bowes. I know there's a gap now again.
Yeah.
But are you feeling a bit more confident going for the rest of the season?
Yeah, definitely. And I suppose it was a huge reaction to come back from the Galway defeat and go down to Wexford and, you know, 2-2. Could we won it? Maybe. Could they won it? Maybe. You know, it was a first entertaining game. And then to win at the weekend was brilliant. Just keep that clean sheet as well. Mm. It's one thing winning, but to keep a clean sheet is brilliant, especially for the likes of Claude and stuff, who's so young, 16 or something like that in goal.
Brilliant.
For her to keep a clean sheet is brilliant for her. And I do feel that, like, we're kind of turning a corner now. We know that, like, certain things aren't acceptable, certain things are. And hopefully we can just keep that, you know, momentum going. Keep getting positive results. It doesn't have to be wins all the time, because we know where we're at in terms of the table and stuff. We have our targets as a team, and so if we can just reach those targets, that'll be a good day at the office, you know. So, and the lads will be happy, hopefully.
And obviously you're part time, so how do you do training and stuff? Do you do it at night?
We do training Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, and it might change then depending on the week, like a match on a Saturday, but like most of us work, well, yeah, there's a good few of us work college and then school as well, like, so it's fairly full on now, right? Like, especially when you're, you know, you might have gym now this evening, but you might have a video before that, so you could be out training for 2.5 hours, like, do you know, and you might only be back from work at 5 o'clock, or some girls,
you're tired, like.
Yeah, it is, but sure, like, we love it, like, so if we're doing it anyway, do you know what I mean? And people always say, oh, you know you could have gone professional. Yeah, you could have, but, like, you know, still happy where I am in here in Cork, do you know, that kind of way. So,
and did you get to, so obviously after doing your masters, did you get to work in the sports and social and stuff like that, like,
so, or? I worked in Mallow in, it was like a level 4 sports and rec course, basically like a fast course, essentially. They got paid to be there, and we would have had a lot of young people who would have had, like, maybe addiction issues, things like that, just kind of unstable family environments, different ethnic groups as well. So that brought a mix of just, you might have had feuds and things like that, so you have to balance all them. And I taught 3 modules down there, soccer, surprise being one of them, food, nutrition and health and fitness. And I was there for about 3 or 4 years. But now I moved up to the other end of the spectrum, working with older people now.
Okay.
Yeah, up in St. Mary's Health Campus, but it's the orthopaedic, obviously, like. But yeah, working with older people then on a one-to-one. They'd come in and they'd see the medical team, and then they had a fraud or something like that, and they might say, look here, this person wants to get back out socially, regain self-confidence, things like that, and I'd work with them then to kind of help them to, you know, get that little bit of confidence and hopefully get back to where they were. So it's a nice mix of people and clientele, and it's a huge change from working in Mallow. Like,
massive,
you know,
change, yeah.
You know, so but no, I enjoy it, and it's nice. They're very genuine, and the team above in the orthopaedic are very good to me and stuff like that. Like, so it's
supportive of you playing as well, wanting to find out how you get on the weekend.
Yeah. No, it's good. They may be coming to a few matches over the next couple of weeks, so that's good. So yeah, no, I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying life. I'm enjoying soccer at the moment. So hopefully it will continue.
And I know you said you're one of the oldest in the team. Mm. But do you think you'll keep playing?
Yeah.
For a few years?
Yeah.
Because, like, you're still young. Like, in most sports, it's only in the peak.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
27, late 20s.
Yeah.
But for some reason, in women's football in Ireland, they seem to kind of retire younger, do they? Like,
I suppose people want to have families and stuff like that, like, maybe, I don't know. But then you look at, like, Stephanie Roach, or Stephanie Zambra, as her married name is now, but, like, she's 33, I think.
Mm.
So she's still playing. So I'll keep playing for a while anyway.
Keep playing.
As long as they'll have me, I suppose. Do you know, I'm close to getting my 200 appearances, so that's something that I'd love to achieve
this
year.
Goal.
Yeah, I'm quite close. That's my one thing now. I want to tick off the list now for this year. Fingers crossed that happens. I think it will.
And at some stage, it'd be nice to lift the league title as well, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would. It'd be lovely just to be able to represent the National League and a Champions League level, and hearing the Champions League music would be like, imagine if you played in the cross and we heard the Champions League music.
That'd be outstanding.
You know, that'd be, then you could retire and go, I've done it.
Achieved, got to the top.
Yeah, that'd be something that I'd love to do. Will we do it? I don't know. I think we have a team in a few years that probably could challenge for the league. But it all depends if people, you know, if we can keep that group together. There's a lot of talented players there, like, that might be going to England, might go to America for scholarships. So it's just...
That's the thing, especially, I suppose, sports scholarships in the US. The colleges, like, they're probably knocking on doors over here now as well.
They are. There's a few now, and, I'm just hoping that we hold them on to them for the whole season. It's one thing to lose them next season, but if you could just get a season where we don't have a lot of change in terms of personnel, it'd be great, because then you can keep your solid team or squad or whatever, you know, and everyone knows where they stand. So look, it's brilliant that people are knocking on the door for our players. It just shows where, you know, where I started, where people didn't want to play for the club, whereas you have teams coming from England going, we want to sign her, we want to look at her, and there's people coming from America. I just hope that we can keep them for a long time, but I'd never stand in anyone's way. You know, if they wanted to go and make a living of it, then go.
And it helps probably having the girls academy now in the club as well.
Yeah.
Whereas before, you were trying to recruit from all over the place. Now there's a kind of a line as you progress, and some of them are probably going past.
Yeah. I'd say some of them, like, you look at the 17s now, like, and I've seen a few of their games, like, and I just know, like, there's a few of them, they're quality, like, even at 15, like, you're looking at them going, oh my God. And, like, that wasn't there for me, like, so it's brilliant that they can come in at that age, and they can be even kind of scouted before that, so they kind of have an idea if someone's coming in a year or two. It's brilliant, super, and long way. Hopefully, you know, we can get, like, younger players, even in, whether it's, you know, I'm not going to say an under 13 team, but under 15 team, but it'd be great in a few years' time just to have that as well. That pathway is there for people to almost be in a professional environment, like it is for the lads. Do you know what I mean? It gets them set in for senior football, do you know?
Do you ever see it become a professional in this country?
Not. Well, I suppose you have Rovers who are professional, but out and out, not in my playing career anyway,
not
I don't
in your
think.
Playing career.
I don't think so. I don't think the infrastructure is there or the funding is there to sustain people's livelihoods. And, like, you look at it now and, you know, you hear the figures that Rovers are getting, but, like, even still, like, it's probably, some people are probably earning more than that in their jobs anyway.
And that's the challenge,
you know,
isn't it?
It's very hard. Look, I know you want to say, oh, I want to play football for a living, but at the same time, you're looking at the long term, you're looking at football, like, what are you going to fall back on? You know what I mean? If you take a career break for how many years, will you get back into that line of work? You know, it's all this if, buts and maybes, and I suppose it's different for lads in that, like, they'd always have, when they're younger, they could sign a contract and they'd have a small bit coming in, and they can go to England and all this kind of stuff. Look, but it's just, I suppose, I don't think it's going to be professional in this country in my playing career anyway. If it is, come here, I'll welcome them with open arms, but I don't think it is, not with the other sports we're competing with and stuff like that, unfortunately. But just hopefully it just improves, you know, in terms of, well, you know, we get wages and things like that. You know, it'd be great just to see small little steps, you know, even if it's a part-time kind of wage or something like that for all the
teams.
Which
is probably where it needs to go, like.
I think it does. I think it's, in this day and age, just the cost of living and all this kind of stuff. I think, you know.
And the only way for that to happen is for people to get out there and support you, I'd imagine.
Yeah, no, it is. And if we get
seats, like,
yeah, if we get bigger crowds, I suppose it looks better, and we kind of go, well, look, we're bringing this much revenue every week, we're getting this much sponsorship, you know. It'd be brilliant, like, and it would kind of put us in a better position then for maybe attracting other talent as well around the league. It's very hard to attract people to Cork, like, as much as I love City, like, it is hard, especially when they're coming from Dublin, they're getting, you know, their XYZ or whatever. Look, we're lucky this year that the lads are very good in terms of recruitment. They got a few players in, but it is hard, like, you know. So it'd be great if we could offer people that little bit more security and kind of financial, I suppose, assistance, I suppose, really, like, you know, would be great. But hopefully in a few years now, as I said, like, you can just tip on that little bit and, you know, go from there then.
Because,
you know,
I know we're seeing, you know, young families go over to the likes of the Emirates and stuff and watch Arsenal play, because Kylian McCabe is playing for them.
Yeah.
You know, so hopefully the league can leverage off of that and say, look, support your homegrown. It's okay to go over there too if you want for a special occasion or whatever. But, you know, when you're playing, when they're playing at home, go and support them.
Yeah, and I suppose the thing is that you can see the likes of, like, Eva Mangan, for example, like, who's to say that she won't progress to be, like, playing for Arsenal or playing for whoever. And you can see, at least you can go, well, I saw her when she was captain of City, like, you know what I mean? So, like, the talent is there. Just people,
like,
need to
play for you, and then she went to offer to Durham and stuff like that.
She
you
did.
Know?
She did. And look, even like Denise Sullivan played for Cork Women's at the time, and look where she's gone to now. So, like, the talent is in the league and in City, I firmly believe that. So people just need to get out and kind of see it for themselves, you know what I mean?
So for your next game, you're back again, you're playing Dale Arwaves, is it next week, is it?
The 13th, I think. The 13th. Something like that.
Yeah, so on a Saturday, you want to get a big support for that.
Yeah,
and the weather's getting better now as well, so there's no excuse.
Yeah, and the evenings are brighter, you know, and, you know, it's always nice to get out on a Saturday night with your family, and I suppose the big one then is where it's going to be on the telly as well against Treaty.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Is it the week?
It's the first time to cross, isn't it?
Yeah, 2 weeks after, I think, in May. So that'd be great even then to get a huge crowd there, because,
let's,
you know,
break the record for that one. So
yeah, definitely. And if they know that Cork City bring a huge crowd, the chances are that it'll be there again. Like, so we'd love to, you know, get more people out, get young girls, young boys, whatever, involved in that day. Like, so it'd be fantastic just to get to see more people at the cross, because it is a fantastic atmosphere. And, you know, I fully believe that we can kick on now after last week's result. So yeah, I'd love to see more people there.
No, before we finish, we always have a couple of questions that come in
through
our Instagram.
Lovely.
So this week, what do we get?
Oh,
so,
God.
Okay. So what's Mac's greatest City 11?
Oh, Jesus.
That's a tough one, though.
Yeah. Christ almighty. Where are you going to put myself in the centre half anyway, first and foremost?
It's important.
Yeah. Goalkeeper. Gonna say Clodagh at the moment, so I think she, you know, definitely thereabouts. Right foot, I think I put Natalie O'Brien. I think me at left side centre half. I'll come back to the right side. Left back then. I have to put Seanan McCarthy, my best friend. I have to, because if I don't, she'll kill me. She'll kill me. I can feel her eyes staring at me already. Then I'm gonna go for a girl called Megan Burke, in as a six. She would play with us 2017. She's Canadian, like, she was here on scholarship with UCC, so she was class. I'm gonna put God Almighty, Sarah Shannon, probably as the 10. Eva Mangan, I suppose, as the other kind of six or eight next to Megan Burke. Up top then, as the name's going to be Claire Shine. Has to be. Right wing and left wing, and then right side centre half, isn't it? God almighty. Right wing. Just trying to go through the players that I played with now, do you know that kind of way? I suppose Katie McCarthy, she probably deserves a mention in around there. She doesn't play anymore, but she was super with City, like, yeah. She'd probably go left wing maybe, because she can cut in. Right wing then. God.
We've really put you on the spot here.
Yeah, I'm really thinking. Like, I haven't thought this much all morning. right side centre half, I'm going to put Maggie Duncliffe next to me. I think we had a good partnership in 2017. So I'm going to put her there. Right winger. Who will I put? They'll kill me now, train tonight, if they hear this. If they went to put me in the team. I'm going to put... do you know what I put? Ellie O'Brien, right wing.
So that's your team.
Yeah, that's my team now.
We'll have to get Aaron to put a graphic together.
Yeah, God, imagine the abuse I'm gonna get. I'm gonna block
it's
everyone.
Actually, something we should do with the other players as well.
I know. Yeah, you didn't put any of the lads on the spot then.
No, this was a question that came in.
Yeah, so yeah, yeah. Put Mac on the spot there. Yeah, no problem. Thanks to that person whoever sent that a message in anyway.
Who's your best friend on the team?
Shauna. I know that.
Well, she actually asked the question.
Yeah. Imagine if I said someone else. Oh my God, she'd disown me.
What's your favourite football memory and why? That comes in from another teammate, actually. Ellie.
Oh God. Thank God I put her on the team. Jesus. my favourite football memory, I suppose, would probably be the 2017 year, I suppose. Because I went to the university games in Taiwan that year as well, turned 21. Then lifted the FA Cup and got on team of the year as well. So that was a fairly solid football memory, to be honest. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, Philly's asking, who's your sporting hero? I think I might be able to guess that one, right?
I'd say you wouldn't need to be an inspector if I can Poirot to best guess that one anyway. Yeah, Roy Keane. I suppose growing up in Cork,
yeah.
Being a Northside family, being a United fan, has to be Roy Keane. Do you know, has to be.
And the last question is from Cormac. What do you like the most about playing for Cork? Should have said Cork City.
I was like, yeah.
I'm surprised because you're not playing for Cork GAA.
No, playing for City. And even, yeah, when people say, oh, come on, Cork, I'd be like, oh, my skin's nearly crawling. Some of the girls say Cork, I might get out. But my favourite thing about playing for City, just the kind of community and aspect of the club, how everyone's behind everyone.
Yeah.
And just how much people get involved, even if it's sponsorship, fundraising, matches, support. I don't think any other club in the country has it. So that'd be my favourite thing about playing for. Obviously the cross is huge as well, but I do think the kind of the atmosphere people create around the club is just something that you can't really describe unless you come to play here, do you know what I mean? So yeah, definitely that.
Well, I think that's a great way to finish. Thanks a million, Ciara, for coming on.
No bother, thanks
for having me. Fascinating to go through your career and best of luck for the rest of the season.
Thanks very much.
Fascinating interview again.
Brilliant. Yeah, she's got some stories.
Brilliant, but you know what? In some ways it was a bit more in depth in kind of the life of, I suppose, the football and the women's game as well. And like that there's a bit of a balancing act.
Yeah, it's not a case of you're a professional footballer and all you have to do is wake up, play football and go to sleep. They nearly live the life of a professional footballer in terms of having to look after yourself and train
three
and all
nights
that.
A week,
but you also go to college or school or work, as Mac did or does. And kind of at the inside as well of being here at the start, kind of when it was just kicking off, it was in its infancy and coming right through to, you know, riding the wave of being up and winning cups, cup-winning captain, to then coming down and, you know, being at the other end of the table. And
I love to see, though, the fact that she's still hungry for more.
Yeah.
Like, that she'd love if City could win a league and get to Champions. Yeah. That would be her dream.
We were saying there, you know, the whole joke is that Mac is the mammy of the team, that she's the old one. She's only 27.
27.
There's so much left in her.
She said herself, Stephanie Roach is still playing. She's 33 or
whatever. Yeah, Kylie Murphy at Wexford, I think, is 36 as well.
Yeah.
So, like, she's not, like, we joke that she's an old woman. She's not at all, like.
Not at all.
There's plenty of time left in her career. And
she played with the best of them as well. Like, she did, that underage side there that went to the semi-finals in the Euros. Like, and a lot of them have gone on to play for the senior team.
Exactly. And even like she was saying there, the early days, when they were at Cork Women's FC at the time.
Mm.
And like her family were picking up Denise O'Sullivan to bring her in and everything. And look what Denise has gone on to do. So she's been there with unreal players at local level and international level and at club level, like National League level as well. She's very much been there, done that, and still doing it.
Yeah, and it goes to show how important it is to get attendances as well at the stadium, like at the cross, because you hear what it means to them. Like,
yeah,
she said there, 1,000 to them felt like it was full.
Because
they went from just having their mother and father at the side of a pitch to now getting crowds, which is a huge difference.
Yeah, and even now, like that game, that was a treaty game in 21, I think it was 1,200 when at it. But probably around 500-600 every game now, which is like, it's a bit down from that, but it's still a good crowd in terms of the Women's Premier Division and what some of the other clubs are getting. And the goal for us, I suppose, as a club, is we want to be up around that 1,000. And from now, international week break next weekend, as we were saying, in DLR after that, we want to get a big crowd for DLR. The next home game after that, I think, is Treaty. I think we're away the week after. We've Treaty at home, and that's on TV, as Mac was saying. We want to get like that.
That'd be brilliant for them.
If we get the TV cameras in, we get a big crowd in and hopefully a good result and good football, like that'll entice them to come back. And you don't want to have one game on TV be like, oh, that's great, and then it doesn't happen again. Like, you want to make it a draw, that the TV crews are going to a lot of grounds around Ireland, and especially in the Women's Premier Division, a lot of the grounds aren't really, like, they're not really stadiums. Like, Piemont, great team, great facilities up there, but when they're televising a game there, it's just a field with a clubhouse in the back. Mm-hmm. Like, you want games televised on Turner's Cross, AM&DC Park, places like that. And it's the first one we've had, or sorry, the first one we will have. And hopefully it all goes well. We get a good result and a good crowd and a good atmosphere and entice them to come back and do more and show off more, showcase more of the young players that we have and what they can do. And
they become role models now for the younger kids.
Exactly,
because,
yeah.
Like, you know, she said herself, she had to play with the boys because there was no team. And now you look at the number of, you know, schoolgirls teams in Cork. It's massive, you know, and it's becoming such, you know, I suppose probably the fastest growing. And I'd say probably the GA are probably slightly worried about it because Camogie is going to be, and ladies football will probably be affected because other sports will always get, you know, damaged by one sport being
successful.
Exactly,
yeah, yeah.
But you could definitely, the momentum is shifted towards, you know, the likes of the soccer team, the national team in particular has helped that.
Yeah, and you've seen it, like the videos on our social media over the last couple of weeks when the players went to school a couple of weeks ago and there's a massive ovation.
Brilliant.
When they came in. And one thing you'd see at our home games after every game, it's nearly different in women's football that after a game, the two teams sort of do their team talk on the pitch. So you'd see it, there's two huddles on the pitch. It's very different to the men's game. And after that, the players are out on the pitch for another half an hour signing autographs, taking selfies. Like
that.
The whole length of the Donny Ford.
Brilliant.
Are kids and families and fans. And it's the time they give, it's incredible. It's the support they get from those young fans. And that all stems from the school visits and going to visit the clubs and not just that, but what they're doing on the pitch as well and trying to put on a show for them. And the more of that, the better, the bigger crowds that come in. It might end up in the girls having to be on the pitch an hour after the game because there's so many people wanting selfies, but that's great.
Of your own success.
But
she actually even said that at the end. She said the thing that she loves the most is that it's a community club.
Yeah.
And that she feels that they're part of a much bigger thing than just themselves. And I think we've said this on the podcast, like when we talk about the underage, and obviously we didn't bring up about the academy this week because they had no matches.
Yeah.
But, you know, we have so many different elements to the club, and you could even see that in Wexford yesterday as well. Families, people of all ages, group of young lads together, couple of elderly lads, couple of families.
Yeah.
You know, you could see mothers, sisters. There's all walks of life.
Yeah, it's not just kind of one sort of football fan, and that's like people from all walks of life, all backgrounds support Cork City and travel
it's far
away to watch them. And the women's team as well, there's a lot of people travel to away games.
And
that'll
only get bigger.
Exactly, it's not just kind of, especially the home games and the away games, not just the families and the parents anymore. It's there are people going there to watch the football, which is, like, that's brilliant, and that's where we want to get to. And we are getting there, and we want to push it on and get more and more people in every week, be it to a home game or away game or what. But as Mac was saying, like, there's like an aura around playing for Cork City. There's, you know, and especially with Danny now hammering it in as such a Cork City legend that he is, that, like, they need to know they're playing for Cork City, and they do. Like, they wear the jersey with pride, and same with the men's, same with all the teams.
Mm.
But there is that sort of buzz about playing for Cork City and a buzz around the club, which is brilliant to see.
Oh, that's brilliant to see. And speaking of buzz, we have a local derby coming up Friday night.
El Clásico Cork. We've already had a few tweets coming in saying, stop saying El Clásico Cork. But it will always be El Clásico Cork.
Maybe there'll be another fucking name for it, so.
Yeah, it'll always be El Clásico Cork.
Yeah, Cork for the opposite to us yesterday. They came from 1-0 down at home with their new pitch.
Yeah, look good actually. I saw a couple
lovely.
Of videos.
I saw the pictures.
Good.
To draw 1-1 with Longford. So that'll give them a bit of a boost, I'd imagine.
Yeah, they'll be confident. And it's one of those games where there's a couple of Cove players with us, and there's a couple of Ex-City players with Cove. So there's always going to be that bit
they'll always raise their game anyway.
Yeah, that'll be an interesting one Friday. Hopefully a big crowd as well.
I'd imagine it would be.
Yeah, there's always a big atmosphere in those kind of games. So
there was a big, like last week we got over 3,000, but I know Ringmahon were playing in the Rockmount in the FAI Intermediate Cup semi-final at the same time, which isn't ideal, really.
It's not. There would have been a couple of people up there that would ordinarily be at the Cross, you'd think.
And I hate when they do that kind of thing where they put Munster Senior League games or, you know, FAI Intermediate Cup or something like that, or school boys, whatever.
Or a rugby match. Over the road as well,
match, yeah. You know, we'd be starved for stuff there most of the time, and then everyone has to be put on at the same time.
You have to choose,
People shouldn't have to choose, you know.
Yeah, so I don't know if there's anything else on Friday night.
Don't think so.
But,
so hopefully, you know, people who support football in Cork will come out.
Yeah, and with the hour changing now, it'll be brighter later, and it's the weather will hopefully, I know it's raining now.
Bill.
I know the true, yeah. I know it's raining as well now, and if the weather kind of dries up now for the second half of the week, and good place to spend your Friday evening, especially when it's a Cork derby like that.
Yeah, and hopefully some of the new lads, you know that the likes of Keane and stuff will kind of tell them how important it is. Like,
yeah, I think from the crowd, the size of the crowds and the atmosphere that are we've had so far, I think everyone kind of knows now what's expected and how big Cork City is. And no matter what, when it's a local club coming like this, you're going to know it's a big derby, and it's
you don't
a big...
want to be beaten by the team down the road. Like,
exactly, yeah. It's I say big derby, like it is a derby, but it's just because of the local atmosphere, it's going to be that bit bigger.
There's only two clubs in Cork in the league, like, so
exactly, yeah, yeah. And the Shed, as we were saying, the last couple of weeks have been brilliant, so it's going to be the same on Friday night. You'd imagine Cove will have a vocal support as well.
Wexford yesterday, I know it was like a mini Shed up there.
Yeah, it was very loud in Wexford actually, yeah. Wasn't it? Yeah,
non-stop for the whole game.
Yeah,
I know, because my Apple Watch said it went up.
Loud environment, was it?
Loud environment. I was going to go deaf.
Yeah, that's. I'd say that happens in the Shed now a lot on a Friday night.
120 decimals or something.
Yeah,
it was very loud. I wonder what's the highest they went though. See, can we break 120 this week?
I know, to be fair, Gar Fleming from Audivox, their sponsor of the club, and particularly on the women's side, he's been at the women's games. I don't know what the device is called now, but he has something measuring the sound levels when the teams come out or when a goal is scored and stuff like that. So he'll be the man to have the figures on that. But yeah, another one now on Friday night. Hopefully another big result. Keep us top.
We have to keep the momentum going now of our home wins.
Yeah, you always hear, you know, the football cliche of make your home ground a fortress, and kind of going back that way. I know there was the last couple of years, it probably got to a point where teams weren't massively afraid coming down to Turner's Cross. Kind of swinging the other way now. We're winning the home games, big atmosphere every Friday. So the longer it stays like that, the better. And that's what we all love to see.
And get your tickets in advance. I know you save a few bob anyway.
Yeah, they're selling away actually.
But just
as well,
in case, if it was a bright evening, remember kids are off school this week as well, people be looking kind of to wrap up the holidays with something to do.
Exactly, yeah.
You could get a boost all of a sudden, and you might, I know, I met one or two guys last year, I think it was outside one, the first game of the season, and they're like, couldn't get a ticket, I didn't realise it sold out.
Yeah.
Like, things do sell out.
Yeah, yeah, it sells out, and things sell out faster than you expect half the time. But like even now, the past weekend, we were open down at the Marina Market again, and we had tickets there for the Athlone game, but also for the Cove game, and we sold a couple there. They're selling away online, so if you haven't already, get them online, or if you're around Douglas, they're available in the club shop as well. But yeah, corkcityfc.ie/tickets, you'll get tickets for whatever upcoming games are there. Women's next home game against DLR Waves is up there as well. But yeah, it's just easier to get them in advance. As you said, you save a couple of euro. I think it's €5 more expensive on the gate, like if you're paying at the ticket huts. So
you could buy your program at that. Or exactly. Buy the lotto.
Play the club lotto's on every week as well. Actually, that's something we haven't spoken about much here. Actually, it's every Monday evening, the draw. And that's a weekly thing. The funds raised from that go to the academy sides. Okay. And so it's corkcityfc.ie/lotto. The jackpot at the minute is sitting at €10,700. And
sorry.
Yeah, fiver to enter, as you said. So not a bad...
Pay for an old holiday.
Exactly. Yeah, not bad if you could win that. I don't know if we can enter that or win that or what, but no. I wouldn't
go
mind
back
it myself.
To New York again.
Yeah, I'll go with you. Yeah. We'll draft someone else into host it.
Someone to come in to do the podcast.
But yeah, there's the club lotto as well. That's another vital sort of fundraiser for
these
our
things
academy
sites.
Like, it is, yeah, yeah.
You hear, you know, Ciara talking about, like, you know, that they'd love to get to the stage where even they get to part-time, and that will happen if we get support on a number of different levels. We've had new sponsors coming this year.
Yeah.
You know.
We've had a lot of new sponsors, particularly on the women's side as well.
Yeah,
actually,
and the
crowds
have been good as well, like, across the board. So
yeah, the women's the women's game in particular is growing a lot. So as Mac was saying there, like, it's on the sort of trajectory, maybe not to fully professional, but it's definitely on the right path.
It kind of reminds me of the 90s with the men's team, where they were all working, and sometimes you get huge crowds, and then there'll be other weeks there'll be nobody there.
No one there.
Like, you know what I mean? So, like, that's kind of the same type of thing. Like,
a bit before my time now.
Yeah, definitely before your time. I wish it was before my time. But that's what we want to see. We want to see it build.
Yeah. So look at where the League of Ireland on the men's side is now. The crowds, as we were saying earlier, the crowd in Talla, crowds at the Cross this year and last year and the year before.
For their game last night as well.
Exactly,
like.
Yeah. And the interest, like, we're at the point now where we're getting to a point where like League of Ireland stadiums won't be big enough for the demand that's there, which is, like, no one could have seen this coming.
That'd be a nice problem to have.
A brilliant problem to have. You, like, selling out every week would be incredible. And it's, as we were saying, it's on that sort of trajectory. And it's brilliant. There's a buzz around the whole league, like the Premier Division, the First Division, and now it's coming on the Women's Premier Division side as well. So it's exciting to be a League of Ireland fan.
Do you know what? It goes against all this thing that I see is Gerard Pique said that, you know, all the youngsters today, they don't want to watch 90 minutes of football or something. Nonsense.
Yeah, definitely nonsense in this side of the world
anyway. Like, yeah, like, you only have to be at the game yesterday day or the game Friday night and see all, you know, the teenagers, how they're hyped up and all of that. and people of all ages, as I said, they love, there's nothing better than seeing it live.
Yeah, yeah, especially when it's your local team as well. You know, people go to England or wherever to watch Premier League teams or whatever, but when you go 10 minutes down the road to Turner's Cross or to any ground in Ireland, wherever you're from, and it's your local team that are representing you and your community, it's brilliant.
And look, Ciara said it too there in the interview about you're seeing potential future stars as well. And I think we have that in both teams, actually.
Yeah, we do. There's players.
We have a lot of underage internationals lining up for both teams at the moment.
Yeah, there's players on both sides where you describe them as the kind of players that you need to embrace them while they're here and get down to the Cross and be able to say in 5 or 6 years' time, I saw them playing for Cork City. And
just like people in the past could say, I remember seeing Denise O'Sullivan play for the women's team years ago.
Exactly.
I remember seeing Kevin Doyle or
Ogden Aino as well in Luton.
So, you know, so definitely, like, get out and see them before it's too late, before they're doing what the likes of Jake O'Brien is doing with Leon, or, you know.
It's nearly disappointing that many didn't get to see him because it was during COVID and it was mostly behind closed doors.
But I know Frank Owen was on the bench again at Palace at the weekend, you know, and Mark O'Mahony's been on the bench with Brighton as well. You know, there's a good few of them floating around now. And Saoirse is doing all right over in Durham as well.
Yeah,
so,
she is.
So, you know, watch the future stars. We're not saying that we want them to leave. Of course, we want them to stay.
Definitely not.
This is what happens sometimes in our league.
Yeah.
You know?
We'd love to be at a point where
we could hold on to them, but
we
want
to
really
keep them
really
here.
Good,
like, yeah.
Be the person that says, you know, I got to see him. Yeah. You know? Yeah. Just like I remember seeing Gavin Bazunu save a penalty down the Cross.
So do I, yeah, yeah. You know, sadly, it was penalty, wasn't it?
And he was only 16 as well at the time.
Yeah.
So it does happen. So, you know, don't dismiss the league. I'm sure anyone that's listening to this anyway knows.
They know, yeah. We're preaching to the wrong people here, probably. People.
Tell your people at work, tell people in school. And
bring,
all
a friend to, bring a friend to the Cross. You're going to be at the Cross anyway, yeah.
Hype them up. Hype up our youngsters.
Exactly.
And so I suppose we better wrap it up because we've been rambling again. not that we're about ramblers. Like.
Wrong word this week, I'd say. Yeah. You're on the wrong podcast, I'd say.
Didn't know that one.
Yes.
They might after a weekend.
We'll see.
But yeah, we'll be back next week for another episode.
And as always, if you haven't already, make sure you leave us a rating on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to us.
Yeah, and make sure you answer the questions on Spotify as well. We usually have a few in there.
Exactly, yeah. All that interaction helps with the chart placement. We were only talking there. We're up in the top 10 in Qatar at the minute in football charts, which is random, but we'll take it.
Yeah.
So whoever's out in Qatar, as always, thanks for listening and we'll see you next week.
See you then.